I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy.
Here.
Councilmember Morgan.
Here.
Councilmember Edelman.
Councilmember Edelman is excused.
Councilmember Weber.
Here.
Councilmember Pepper.
Here.
And I just want to point out at the beginning of the meeting that most of the staff is here tonight because they're worried about the budget. And so they showed up to see what your changes are, because Brian said we were going to bring changes for today. And worried about getting the budget passed by the end of the year, because if you don't, the city shuts down. We have no budget. If without a budget, you cannot conduct any business. We can't pay bills, we can't collect money, we can't do anything. So I just wanted to point out to you that it's really important that we have a budget before the end of the year. So the first thing on the agenda is going to be the sewer rate increase. Ms. Miller.
We've had the public hearing on the King County Metro's pass-through sewer rate increase. It's $2.19 a month. They sent the notice out to us in October, and then we advertised, scheduled the public hearing. This is a pass-through. Their council adopted the ordinance. It goes to all the cities in Florida from north of Redmond, clear down to the Pacific, and then east and west. So it's pretty much all the cities in the Puget Sound area. This is for their cost after we get it into their sewer system, where they transmit it and process it to keep our waters clean. And we all belong to the King County Metro Sewer Agreement. And they then promptly bill me by mid-January. I've already got a bill for January with an increased rate. And so it's really important that we pass this. We didn't have, we were at the last council meeting, I think, one person said, testified that they were there. Do you have any questions?
In the King County signature report on page 5, line 87, number 17, it talks about sewer connections next year. And is that a separate, will that be a separate ordinance, or are we not addressing that?
Yeah.
Or I realize it's not the same topic as what this ordinance is, but I just wondered, because there is, I believe, a rate increase on that, and I wondered if that's coming.
Right. That is... when people join and build a new home, they get billed directly by King County, and it doesn't go through the city, so we don't have to collect that.
Okay.
It's an assessment.
It's on the King County signature report.
It's for new.
Page 5, line 87, and it's number 17. But it names a price. And it
right,
talks
right.
about connection to
right,
the sewer.
That's
right. But that is between whoever is building the home
right.
and...
Right.
The King County.
Right.
All right. Thank
you. They had expected to increase it like 5%, so we were, or more than that. We've had up to a 15% increase, so this is one of the lower increases mm-hmm. that we've seen over the last few years. And they... the rate stays for 2 years. They don't increase it next year. That will be the year after. And they're planning to reduce it, the increase, to 2.5% the following year. So it should go down even lower the next time. Mr. Weber? Yes. Morgan.
It's a question to you.
Yeah, in the rate payer report.
Oh, okay. My question is, does Black Diamond have a green infrastructure program for property owners to install rain gardens or cisterns to keep excess rainwater out of the sewer system? I guess I'm just asking, is there a program, or are we?
It's a requirement, not just a program. It's a requirement of all individual homes have to have their own, configuration for 5C code.
All right. Thank you. I was just checking to see if it's listed as a program in our report, which is why I might have used the word program. So, thank you.
Yeah, I just attached. This is some King County literature that they sent me that I attached, so I didn't produce this, but just attached it for your information.
Another question on page 8. It talks about, my question is, where does the sewer pipe system join up with the King County Wastewater Division South Treatment Plant in Renton? And they mentioned that the pipes go from a diameter of 12 inches to 16 feet. I'm just wondering, in our part of the King County, where does that occur?
So, the City of Black Diamond has responsibility for upgrading our system in the county system. So, currently, right now, our sewer all goes to the lift station down by the bakery. At that point, then it enters into the Black Diamond trunk line, which goes down the Lake Sawyer Road, goes through Sawyer Winterwood, and then it enters into the Coos Creek pump system, where they wheel our sewer into the metro. So in that report that you have there from the metro, they're giving you kind of a what their entire system is. So if you lived in their system, because we're all regional customers,
yes,
you would have anything from a 6-inch to a 16, if that's the minutes.
Right.
So when they talk there, they're talking the whole system from bright water.
Yeah, because I was wondering if it goes to the Renton system. That is the closest one to us, it looked like, on the map.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. I have a question. It doesn't necessarily have to do with the rate, but it does have to do with the information that King County sent. And I read in there that the Wastewater Treatment Division has a program called bright ideas and encourages creative problem solving throughout the organization. And I was wondering if Black Diamond has an employee program that empowers creative problem solving to work more effectively to maximize resources. And I saw the page with a dozen rewards for good ideas that people had that are closest to how the division works. And I wondered if Black Diamond is planning something like that or has something like that that I just don't know about. So I don't have to have an answer, but it was a curious comment that I got from reading that information. So I just wanted to know. Oh.
No rewards, right?
With no rewards. Yes. Okay. We are as a department blessed to have some long-term employees who have dedicated 20 years of public employees in our utility departments. That really have been over 20 years. So very thoughtful, very creative. If you want to find money, I can incentivize my guys or Steph's guys. In fact, I'm all for that.
Thank you. I appreciate the information.
You want to incentivize. That's great.
Thank you.
Councilmember Dee, so I'm good with this pass-through, right? I mean, it is a pass-through, so it's coming through King County that, you know, we're going to have to fork over that more extra money, so I'm okay with passing this.
Yeah, bottom line, we have to pay it
right now. I need to prepare a newsletter to get information out to the citizens if they're going to have a rate increase. And our deadline is the 15th, which is next week, and to get the newsletter out. Also, then we have 2 weeks to get and go in there and change everyone's account so that it will work effective January 1st. So we're really in a kind of a time crunch with getting this approved on the 15th.
But only one sewer system that we're talking about in Black Diamond, right?
Yeah. We only have one water system.
No, there's Sioux Creek that serves part of Black Diamond also.
Is Sioux Creek a different one?
Lake Sawyer has Sioux Creek.
So that's a different sewer?
Yes, ma'am.
So different.
Yeah, so both from Black Diamond. County Metro.
What I'm trying to understand for sure is, but they're still paying the same increase.
Only if we build their own water system.
Oh, Seuss Creek builds them separately. They're not on our system. Those ones are not on our system. So, okay. Well, that's what we were discussing here too, right? And their metro sewer payers too. In Black Diamond, how many do you know a percent of the customers that are Lifeline customers?
We have between 51 and 55, but they are not
King County doesn't give the Lifeline discount on their portion of the rate. We give it on the city piece of the rate, but not this 422. The seniors and everyone has to pay. There's not a discount for Lifeline on that portion of the rate, only on the city portion of the rate.
Yes, the number of actual people,
between 51 and 55 actual people qualify for Lifeline. I review all those every year. And some of them were 95, 96 with very low income, so it's really a great program that we offer. Did you have any other questions on sewer? Did you have any other questions?
We'll move on to the discussion and review of the budget amendment for 2016. Ms. Miller.
If you're going through estimating where you're going to be in all the projects and everything, I reviewed all the current year revenue and expenditures, all the grants we've received, and make sure that there's budgets in place for grants and that no fund is going to be over budget. And then usually almost all cities have a year-end budget amendment that has to be passed before December 31st so that your funds are not over budget. That's one of the things they audit for when they come in and audit every year. And in our financial report, we have to state whether all funds were within budget or not within budget. So I've listed the grant revenue that covers the grant expenditure. There's the grant for the King County Boat Safety Grant that we received word. It was a very short-term grant. It only lasted from March of this year through September, and we just found out about it just before they approved it. And we've already spent the money, and we've already received complete reimbursement for that grant. Part of the grant requirement is that I give them a report to show that it had a budget, and we hadn't anticipated that we'd get that grant last year. So when we set the budget last December, this wasn't in there. So this just adds that two line, one for revenue, one for expenditure. They equal each other. The second one is the street relight, LED light, TIV grant that we received from the state for the Puget Sound Energy, changing out all of our street lights to LED. That's a $58,100 grant from the state. The King County did the work. They bill us. We pay King County. The state reimburses us. So this is the only grant in the street capital projects that we hadn't anticipated that we need to have in the budget. It was already approved to accept the grant by resolution 16-1098 this year by you guys. The others are all in the stormwater. There was an expenditure that hadn't been budgeted to finish doing the low-impact review on that code review. We did get some additional stormwater revenue that could cover that because we had several people that had been delinquent on their stormwater pay their fees more than what we had budgeted last year, so it wouldn't use any fund balance. It would cover that expenditure. The next one is the King County Flood Reduction Grant. And that was to design the Covington Creek culvert replacement. That's a $145,000 grant. We got word of it in 2015, and council accepted that in Resolution 15-1057. That work has not been completed, but we have been working on that project, and we need to have the budget in place to spend and get reimbursed on that grant. And the last one is the North Commercial Storm Pond King County grant. And that's a grant of $243,643. And that was approved by Resolution 16-1099 to accept that grant. So those are the only budget changes I'm running.
grants are budgeted and that our funds will be within budget. Did you all get the backup page that showed those? I sent those out separate in the email, but I brought some extra copies. Yeah, I sent them out separate in an email, but I brought extra copies tonight if people didn't have the copy. And there's not any use of fund balance. It's just a grant, or in that one case, stormwater revenue of $13,000. It was the professional service that they're going to use to review all the code and make sure all the codes are in compliance on the low impact development. And that the capital projects, the two stormwaters, if they're not complete, once a capital project budget is in place, it carries over until the capital project is finished. If you spend less, you just don't get reimbursed. You only get reimbursed for what you spend. There isn't like extra money. You can't move money anywhere. It's just for those projects. MRSC put out a bulletin reminding all of us to be sure and check to make sure if there were any late grants or any late changes we need to make sure our budgets were in compliance. Both your revenue and your expenditure. We don't have any extra money to fund these projects. It can only be funded by grant. And the auditors review my budget change, which says it's grant revenue. And stormwater certainly has no extra money to fund any projects there. Stormwater has no extra funding.
Change, you said, didn't you say that the revenue change was?
The revenue is some extra money we got this year because there was some
delinquent ones,
yes,
or whatever.
The bank,
and we went after them, and so now we have them. I get it. And we're going to use it for the code.
Right.
And the only other thing I was going to ask is what. This 11, the boat, the police boat safety stuff, was that just driving the boat around at the lake, or?
It's a federal grant through the Department, and last year
Thank you.
helpful in just that summary. It's hard to tell from there what was in the budget. Do you have any questions?
No, I'm good.
You'll see me. In fact, ever since I've ever worked in the city, we always have December kind of a cleanup budget change this quarter. Because you can't always anticipate every grant that's going to come through. But if you're in good shape, you've got a few extra that you haven't anticipated. That's good. Well, it's one of the requirements of the auditors that we not be over budget and that we bring back to council and tell you the things that weren't budgeted that we need to include.
So you're ready to move on to the budget?
I was going to ask it before, but I have it here, so I'll ask it now. So on the police cars, I'm just curious. I'm curious as how it is that the sewer capital fund has all this extra money to loan out all the time.
They had the money several years ago as they were building up money to do repairs, and it had been estimated they would be $100,000 a year, and so they were saving the funds to do that. And I think that probably Mr. Williamson or Dan could either one speak to that, but I know when they got in there and really did the inspection and everything, that they found that it wasn't going to take $100,000 a year, and they had loaned some money to police and to water for water meters and to stormwater for setup, but all those loans have been paid back. So
you might know. Have we got any idea how long back this goes? Because you know, when I discussed this with Aaron, he says that's the money for the sewage treatment plant that didn't get spent properly. He was right about that.
And I know when the budget showed $100,000 a year would be spent for INI, and when they got in there and got into the pipe, they found that it wasn't going to cost $100,000 a year for that. In fact, the budget now I think is $25,000 a year, so it's significantly less than what we'd expected. I stated on there. I stated that. Let's see, I've got it stated on here. There is $601,874 at the end of this year. Well, right now the sewer operating rates are not paying for their operating expenditures, so we're pulling down that money to the tune of around $100,000 a year just to cover operating costs. So when we look at rate increases in the spring, we'll relook at the model to see what kind of I attached a page in the document that showed we may have to increase just the operating rate for the city side for sewer if we don't have pretty significant growth. And so he will do a model that would show how much growth it would take, or what a combination of growth and rate increase would be. But it looked to me like we would need about a $3 or $4 a month rate increase in the next by 2018 to start stabilizing that fund, unless we have some significant growth. So this model is already built, and it can really show what the differences are. So we plan to come back in the spring and look at that. But going back, right. Going back to the loan for the police cars, that
it gets more into the budget itself. So then, I don't really have it in front of me here. I thought maybe I might, but I understand that we're going to have to buy a new fire truck that we didn't want to do until 2018. Is that right? So I'm going, okay, so how are we going to finance that?
That's what we're looking at right now. Fire trucks usually, you know, have a, just like you buy a car, they have payment plans, so we'll look at that. The state has a payment plan. I've even talked to Columbia Bank. We have some extra money in RE because last year when the Oak Point sale brought in some extra RE money. And so I'm looking at a combination where we're going to end up, how, right. And I need to check with the attorney to find out how which piece of the impact piece can be used for that, if it's 100% or only a percentage.
Can you keep us posted on
that? I will keep you posted on that, yes. Yes.
So Brian, did you do you have a list of things that you wanted to present to us tonight?
Every time I had it to be spent elsewhere, so I do have some questions tonight.
Okay.
Finish up a note here real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so with regard to the general fund, what is the breakdown of the ending fund balance by department for 2016 to 2017?
There is no ending fund balance by department. It's the description in the FARS manual is it's, you know, all the revenue you bring in, less your beginning that you started with this year, less everything we bring in this year, less everything we spend with paid fund balance. And that's it isn't belong to a department or a person. Or it is the general fund balance.
So there's no kind of tracking by department then?
No.
Okay.
Because you'd have to take every dollar of every revenue and say, what department does that belong to? And I've never heard of any. You don't do that. I mean, revenue covers your expenditures. And that's why I go through and try to do, like on page 12, the where I think all the estimated actuals, some revenue will come in higher. You know, like we got the extra school fees because they paid in advance for some of the inspections you have to get the permits. So that revenue then has to carry over to next year, and it is in this year's ending fund balance, but it has to fund all those expenditures for next year. They'll be doing all those reviews of all. In that case, you know, but in the other cases, it's not this dollar to another budget. It's just the total revenue. And that's their definition reviewed in the day-to-day. It's kind of zero-based, because every year you start to do what you need, how much you're paying over, what your revenue is going to be for that year and what you're spending. And that's also why I did the kind of page trying to show what
every day what to do. That's not any expenditure.
Right, not any expenditure.
No, just expenditure. But each department brings in, but I have that revenue listed on page 13, the five different public safety revenues.
Yeah. So with our current adopted financial management policies, they call for a goal of a 10% reserve, which we talked about, for the general fund balance. And can you tell me where that reserve is shown in the budget?
It's page, go to page 12. It's line 52 and 53 down at the bottom. The total is on line 52. And it's also over in the summary. On page 9, also, the ending fund balance, line 101. And that's about 22% of the operating. But because we aren't a big sales tax, we need really more back than what the state recommends at the minimum level, and that's why we have a 20% of the interest.
So where we should really change that?
Well, we could, but then if we get commercial, then we'd have to change it back again. But anyway, it's put there as a minimum, and the state looks every year to say, are you trying to increase that over last year's budget? And last year we did the same thing. So I think they measure that every year instead of pulling it down every year, like you're going to be going out of business or slowly measuring the expenditure.
Are there any state mandates for the levels of the ending fund balance? Is there like a mandate that says that you have to have a certain level?
Well,
other than
when I was working on it, it was 10%. But again, it looks, you know, I think you need to look at your cash flow. If you have sales tax that comes in every 6 months, and you have the first 4 months where you're not really going to get any revenue, you've got to look at not only what they recommend, but what your cash flow. Where I worked in camp, we had all kinds of sales tax, so you didn't really have to worry about cash flow. So you didn't have to keep a high reserve. But here, you know, we're really dependent on the biggest portion of our budget is on sales tax.
regulate them that way because that's how our cash flow is. The biggest portion of the expenditures are the police. Pay January, February, March, and on into April, we usually don't start getting our property tax about 25th or so of April. It goes into May before we get after.
Fund balance is ruled by cash flow. We need to know when the bills are due and be able to pay them.
Okay. I guess kind of along that same line, I guess for the record, as Councilman Weber, hopefully nobody's got such a sore throat tonight that they wouldn't recognize the voice. So along with that, are there any applicable accounting standards that require any particular level of fund balance? I know you talked about the BARS manual. And
in the utility funds themselves, they're more like a business fund. They recommend 3 months, which was just about, well, it's 24%. So we try to keep that in the utility funds. If you go out for debt issues, that's what they look at. If you have 3 months of cash in your operating for your utility funds, because they're treated like a business account. And that's the requirement that we try to measure.
So is there any kind of mandatory component for the ending fund balance that's shown in the budget? Sorry. Are there any mandatory components for the ending fund balances that are shown in the budget? Is there, like, any mandatory component that has to be shown as far as in budget? I mean, I know you talked about 152 and 53.
Excuse me. In special revenue funds, GASB 54 states that those are set by outside agencies, and those funds have to be such a street gas tax, can only be spent for streets or has a specific purpose that has to be spent for. So those funds then can't be moved anywhere else. They have to be set and reported as restricted.
Right. And you said that was Gatsby?
Yes, Gatsby 54.
Okay.
That's governmental standards. And our BARS manual also measures to that audit.
Okay.
Make sure that we met all those fund balance reporting requirements.
Okay. You might have already answered this question. So with the ending fund balance, what does that include? Is that just basically the savings, or is there any kind of like investment type stuff like
it's
that?
It's the cash and investment.
Cash and investment.
We try to keep $300,000 or $400,000 in cash in Columbia Bank, and then the rest of the money is all in the local investment, state local investment. I don't think it shows on anywhere, but I can sure we get to those numbers. We have about $3.9 million all the time in investments.
How much? I'm sorry.
About $3.9 million.
$3.9 million.
beginning fund balance was 3.7, so there was probably 3.5 of that was invested. We can keep a little bit of cash in what late expenditure. And we earn interest. It shows a lower ending fund balance for 2017 because you expect to spend all your capital. You probably won't, but you just show that you're going to, you know, spend the majority of your grants. So you, in effect, usually you have a little more cash than what you show that you're going to have. That you show that you're going to spend your grant. Right, and so
right,
you show, right.
So show and, that.
Well, and because the revenue, like I pointed out, we collected about $150,000 of money that's in the beginning fund balance from the school for those permits. So it was collected this year, so it's not in revenue. So that's why revenue doesn't come up in where that cash is in this state. And I know how much, you know, we've already collected from the school. That's why the expenditures don't make it fully equal. Sometimes you collect it this year and you're going to spend it next year. So you really have to look at almost every single line and know how they all do.
Okay, so I just have one more question, and I think we covered this a while back, so hopefully this is just a refresher. So after the budget's adopted, what are the mandatory or, like, the items that can't be moved versus the items that are flexible in the budget that can be moved around? Because I know we talked about there's certain funds that can be where you can move, but there's other ones that cannot.
Right. Like I mentioned, the special revenue funds, like the street money and the impact fee money, and even water and sewer, those can only be spent for their own expenditures, their own projects. You can't just move that money. It stays there, and nor do we move money out of the general fund to any of those other funds unless we come back to you, because I would have to budget transfer to you. We don't have any budgeted with money.
So, as far as like the department employees and the number of employees, can that be moved around, or is that basically like set by the budget?
It's pretty fixed by the budget, but I mean, sometimes you have vacancies, sometimes you're intended to get an employee, you advertise, you don't, and then contract. In most cases, I would say it's pretty well.
Page 75. So my question is, I don't know which way it's easier to answer. It's first.
Sorry, what's that about?
Salary schedule. Yeah. The first question is, which positions are filled in this list? Or you could tell me which ones are not filled.
Administrator,
Not the hourly one.
May. I don't want to interrupt you, but Brendan, were you bringing somebody up?
I just...
Oh, yes, you were. Sorry.
Here, I'm writing my zeros in. Information.
Tracy's not feeling a lot of love right now.
Yeah, that's good. I'm asking her a lot. I heard it. A senior planner?
Yes.
But not a planner, just a senior planner. And dart planner, 55% hourly, full time. Doesn't matter. That'll be another question. Public Works Director, we got that. Utilities Superintendent, we got that. Project Manager, yes. Construction Inspector. Public Utilities Operator. Administrative Assistant, three, whatever that is. Then, maybe Mr. Williamson can probably help us here, though. So which ones are MDART funded? So then the next question I have is, which ones are either unions? Yeah, and Brenda are not, because they're not. Oh, the commander's not either.
Just a little sidebar, quick question. Are your hourly folks considered union as well? Cool. No.
And the wages are...
guess I wasn't thinking the hourly. Like, do you guys hire part-time help, like, in the summertime, like, grounds?
Oh.
Or they have to be part? Okay, I think that's where I was just curious. All right, thanks.
Part-time goes directly into the union. Yeah.
Yeah, they started, they're in the union, aren't they?
Councilmember Pepper. All right, thank you.
Oh, it was another thing that I came across.
Some of these employees who are funded through, like, the MDART and also through the general fund. When it talks about that funding, is that separated out or is it
all accounted for?
Okay, and then when they cross over with the general, with something, yeah, with one something in our general fund. I think I saw it particularly on when we're discussing the money, is the percent that's in the general fund that's the general accounted for in the general fund accounting.
All the general fund employees are all paid for once a month.
So that's not, you can't make a difference that, okay. I just wanted to be sure that there was some place that had the whole amount of money and some place that had the MDART amount of money that was separate. That
on page 13, you can see the dollars.
Yeah, I just wanted to be really sure what I was looking at.
May Councilmember Pepper, back to my, I feel like I didn't ask my question. I thought, tell me if this is correct. Did I hear that the human resources director position was a quarter paid by the MDART?
The community development.
Okay, I thought I heard that there was a quarter, some position was
a quarter.
Right. Oh, I see. Yes. I do.
Because it's complicated, get it as clear as we can on this worksheet so that you can see in several places, you know, what percent that even the dollar is on the dollar.
All right, Councilmember Weber again. I guess since we're talking about the MDART, what's the status of the annual the funding agreement annual review? Have you guys had an annual review on that, or do you do that yearly?
They sit down, talk to each other, and then they figure out what funding that they're going to do. This funding for the agreement, that's where they decide that. Mr. Williamson sits down with them, and they decide that, and then they come in with their, this is what we're going to do this year.
Right. Now, when do they usually do that, or what time of year? Is that like in the fall, or?
If you'll actually read Exhibit N of the thing, it states Section 6 of the MPD funding agreement, it states, during each annual review, and based upon the above item, the CM developer shall mutually agree in writing to at least the following items. The annual budget for the MDRT cost of the following calendar year to be included in the monthly fixed amount. The MDRT staffing and work plan program for the following calendar year. And any other items by this agreement or the village's development agreement or lots of development agreement. So those are our basis. This then turns into our budget document. So this document here is where we work through where we believe our cost will be for the next year. The master plan developer submits to us the things that they want us to get done this next year, our work plan, things that we need to move forward with in the next year so that we can figure out how much consultant work we're going to need, who's going to be part of that team. So that moves through. And at the end, and how many hearings and how much legal and those things, then at the end it's signed by the mayor and by Brian Ross. So every year we've done one of these. So Mayor Olness has done them, Mayor Gordon's done them, and now Mayor Benson does them. So what we do is we meet, we try to generally get it done mid part of September, so May can then take those numbers and start incorporating them into the budget numbers. So that's kind of how what people think this report is. It's just us setting through those requirements as part of our MDRT budget staffing and work plan, which is, this is our 2017 plan. So we've done one of these every year since we've done it. So we have all these set. Yeah, so that we can help May get her numbers and kind of front loading, and it lets us kind of be planning for the next year what we're going to do under our obligation to, you know, meet their inspections within a certain amount of time they require of us.
And you had mentioned Exhibit N, the funding agreement. I think the last copy I saw was 2011. Is that still current? Or
that's our binding contract.
2011, and that was for the day. I think it was dated June 2011, and then it passed later in the year.
Yeah.
Okay, and there hasn't been any changes or revisions at all. I think that's where I was going. If we had any minor, there are many minors, or just kind of off and on all the time.
We post them, and they know generally what they are. Is they want to move a land category down from M to L, or a product mix, whatever they want to build. They just want to be multi-family, single family.
Yeah, Yeah, I remember seeing it. Yeah.
We'll put that exhibit in on the document. It's in last year's final.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of.
Yeah, when we get to the final,
like
we always
include
that.
Has there been any wind-up or wind-down activity? I know I was kind of reading through the funding agreement, and they talked about the developer to do a wind-up or wind-down.
Or
are we still kind of in the middle, or has there been one or the other?
Well, if you look through that agreement, and it actually had this month, mm-hmm. the first 13 months, this could happen, the first at least we've gone through all those now.
Okay.
So now we are clearly in where the developer can wind-up or wind-down. If they should say, you know, nothing's going on, we want to wind the project down, they give us 6 months notice, we start packaging stuff up and start mothballing stuff. But they can always tell us that they want to wind up. Now, if they want to wind up, for example, but I don't have a budget for it,
right.
We'd have to come to the council and say, we're winding up, they're allowed to do that, we got to, by contract, we got to cover those expenses.
Right.
I need to hire whatever we need to make sure that we meet their expectations, because in the contract it's clearly how fast I have to turn on inspections, how many notice I have to do
right.
there. It kind of lists out our pretty aggressive response that we need to get up on the front. So that's if you see in here this year, actually we are moving the MDRT planner to full time. We're going to bring in an additional planner to help me. That will be a younger planner, and so we'll move through this process. That is one thing we are. So the spot was already there. They're just moving from three-quarter time to full time now. Whether that would be a city employee or a consultant, that's up for us to decide.
As the MDART?
Yes. Yeah.
And the MDART did too. There was a line down. Most of the people that had been funded no longer funded.
So we're still kind of like,
yeah, I mean,
in one way we're winding down.
But yeah, we need the help of the city clerk.
Yeah.
I negotiate that. I think we need the city clerk to help do our portions of the work. We are to help do those things. And then also give money to the finance department to help do our paychecks.
Right.
And we give money to public works to make their time to plan and assess help on certain things. Mm-hmm. We just said, you know, it's not a hour for hour. It's like, hey, let's put $10,000 worth of public works and let's put $10,000 worth of
Sorry, I scribbled wrong. I meant the construction supervisor.
So what that is our on-site. There are so many water lines being put in, sewer lines, stormwater, rain garden, street, sidewalk. We have a dedicated employee on-site that works with people on that.
Okay.
So he works for our department, of course. He has a cubicle in our area. We require the developer to pay and furnish a job shack.
It's not politically correct.
Right. We want our eyes on that project. So despite our permits, they can't do their permits. They can't do on-site activities unless a representative of the city black on site and develop something legal one day.
Right.
We have a dedicated employee who works our city employee who oversees the installation of all the pipes, the bedding, all that stuff. And we have on-site geotech at all times. Geotech on site.
Officially, our court, does it have sort of classification?
And we have the judicial branch, which is the court.
Right. It's a municipal court. Do all municipal courts handle the same kind of cases, or do you only handle a part of it? The costs are up like 37.5%. I'm sure you told me how why that is, but I'm trying to remember.
And so for next year, too, it's increasing the part. Our court clerk right now is part-time, and it would be increasing our hours full-time.
Increasing
our
hours full-time.
Yeah. I'm the court administrator, I'm the court clerk, and I'm our probation department. And so I monitor all those cases that are on probation. There's just a lot of reporting deadlines and stuff, and with the increase in the filing, it's getting more difficult to handle it by myself. She's currently
budgeted. She just comes in on her court days. She's in the court office while I'm in here, and she's accepting payments. And then she'll come in if I have vacation or training. But I don't have a second person all the time.
Maybe you want to. The next page is 33. And I'm just reading like the mission statement here. And I wanna tell you that that our citizens that I talk to are seeing this mission statement in action, which is way more than just having a mission statement.
That's good.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I wanted to be sure that you heard that.
That's good. Thank you.
We're sharing a plans examiner with the ballot system.
Okay.
Oh, that was another thing that sort of occurred to me. When I'm reading this, somehow, as I recall, we were covering our services with the fee payment for whatever services they need in those new fee payments that Janie Edelman and Carol Benson figured out for us. And I'm always wondering if that was still working out good and if that was really the case.
It is. I checked the revenue every year to monitor.
Yes, right.
There's probably a few that we could look at, but the majority of them, I think, are the ones that are the most covered.
Yeah, I think Janie brought that up at one of the meetings, right?
Right. Yeah, we did a lot of work on that. We did a lot of it. I know before Barbara left, she had met.
How long has it been since we've been Henderson and Young?
Yeah.
A couple of years. Yeah, I'm looking at this. There's these $3,000 listed across here. Got any plans for the government facilities? Work that to update that, what Makers did, or what's the status of that?
The status of that, and I think I issued a memo on that last year talking about the fact that no other city has ever used a government facilities plan. And so the attorney and Makers got into a discussion about the way that they calculated the square footage per employee and the cost per employee. And and so extremely overstated what we would need in the future, and so we dropped our agreement with them and quit doing it because they wanted to, like, recharge us to redo the whole plan. And so because of the fact that no other city has ever used this type of an arrangement to build City Hall, we just decided that it wasn't defensible and we wouldn't pursue it any further. So I think in the future, if we want some place to go, we have the opportunity to maybe Oak Point would rent us a building that we could all be in the same building again. But the feasibility of the city actually building our own facilities is probably unrealistic. And most cities don't. I mean, there are cities that have a lot of money. Auburn has their own space, but Maple Valley rents, Covington rents, and that's pretty normal for cities.
So continuing my shout-outs on the next page here, 39 about the parks. I just thought it would be really nice if the gym's income could, maybe not specifically noted, but that gym's got a lot of income.
And
a certain council member is responsible for a lot of that. Well, making it. Oh, well, yeah. Well, yeah. She's to do, huh? Right. And I just thought that's really. Yeah, that's all I had.
So a little bit on the gym as far as revenue. So we have a steady with Jazzercise. So that's a steady input of cash coming in. But the rest of it is just seasonal for basketball or volleyball drop-in or any of that. So the only thing that really the city is relying on for that gym is Jazzercise. And everything else is just a blessing when people call Brock or email me and I let him know that, you know, people want to rent it. So, you know, eventually when the city gets a little more money, we can do a little more advertising and do a little bit more things of getting that information out. But right now it's just word of mouth. And we're doing okay. But, again, it's strictly Jazzercise is the main money maker.
And the other thing is that we added to the budget so we could do some signage, so we can have a sign for the gym and maybe put a sign at the intersection. I know that Karen puts up her Jazzercise sign, which is a, yeah, and so she's puts hers up when she's got classes. So if we can get a permanent sign, that's what we'd really like to have so people know where the gym is. Even though it's just across the street.
I have a question about adding a line item. I think when I read through the budget, did I see a line item for the Planning Commission? No, I understand, but I think there was a cost involved, like maybe $700 or something like that. Well, I mean, I just need to ask.
Yeah, I don't think we.
Okay.
We just, if they need paper or whatever, we probably furnish it. We don't have a specific budget.
What I was thinking is, I can remember seeing, like, for the notebooks for the comp plan, they got them the same as the council did.
Maybe they got.
And I did see. I'm wondering if it doesn't come out of the council. Community development. Okay. Okay, so I would like to add, I'm not quite sure how to do this. I would like to see Black Diamond look into having a municipal arts commission, which is the city, and therefore that commission can apply for municipal arts grants for, you know, from For Culture or other places. And I'm wondering, how can that appear in the budget? Can it be a line item?
We've had this discussion before. An arts commission has to apply to the city. They are in the process right now of forming their arts commission. Then they can apply to the city. Until they do that, we have no basis on that. Leslie could probably talk about that. Oh, you're not part of it, yeah. But I've talked to them before, and they're talking about they're trying to do their 501c3 organization, and after they do that, they can apply to the city to be on, but we wouldn't put anything in the budget for that.
All right. Other cities have, like, community arts organizations that perhaps are 501c3. That is not what I'm talking about, actually. I'm talking about an actual city commission. I mean, they're volunteer. They're a volunteer organization, but they have the ability to apply for municipal monies available that would not be available to a community organization. Renton has Allied Arts, and they apply to For Culture, but it's under a different category. And so I'm just wondering, as a city, being categorized, and you have, like, incorporation papers or whatever it takes, but it allows the city as a municipality to apply for grant money that's separate from a community arts organization. So basically you're doubling your possibility. You might not get any grant money at first because they would be new, but when you apply, they have like a two-year grant cycle, and they have other kinds of things available in preservation. I believe the museum in town got some money from For Culture. But the thing is as a municipality, you're in a different category, so there's different monies available. That the community arts group can also apply to For Culture, but they're applying under a different kind of heading. So I'm just wondering what would be a way to identify that the city's interested in this kind of a category to apply for possible grants. And
well, I've had this conversation with you before. They have to come to the city. We cannot reach out. They have to form their organization first and come and apply to the city to have us sponsor them as the Art Guild for the city. They have to come to us.
I know in Kent, when we funded, we had an arts commission in Kent. But they had to have their 501c3 and be recognized as a group. And then they would apply to the city to be an
our
official
arts commission. And then we would add them as official commission. We wouldn't put them in our budget because there isn't any budget.
They'd be a circle on the budget, you know, as far as the cemetery committee or whatever.
We could sponsor them. No, it wouldn't.
I
Andy.
Yeah, this is Tom Pepper, Councilor Berkey, if I understand. So, just like we have the cemetery commission, cemetery board, if we were to form a municipal art, right, we'd have to set a bylaw rules of how that would work, go through that, the attorney would help the council address that. It would have to come to the board of the council. There had to be a selection process of how you would get through that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, and people that serve on the community arts group could serve on that group as well.
Right.
But I'm just saying is that in terms of finances and what you're available to do, it's a little bit of a different category. I think we can get into a big discussion on that.
We have a lot of assets here in Black Diamond, and there are a lot of people who are interested in the arts and actually do work in the arts. And I think that it's an added value to the city to look into something like this. And so that would be I understand it's not instant, but I think that there are community benefits to starting to think about something like this, because it's not how big you are, it's the value added that you can give to the people that live here. Well, I recognize that you're doing three jobs, so, or maybe more. But I wanted to bring this up at the budget time to find out what is an appropriate way to start thinking about this venture. So I guess that would be my
job.
But I'm not asking that of you at this time. This is exploratory comments on my part to open up an avenue or a door or a value added that maybe we haven't thought about before. And so I would like us to think about that. And I think it's worth our while to consider something like this. And I also can maybe find some examples of incorporation, or I'm not quite sure what it would be. I'm sure Renton has something. I know that Buring has something. And then Eden Ball has an art commission. So, yes, right. And that's where culture is, the preservation, and that is one of the avenues of the kinds of things that they do. And I just think that I think it has value, and I think we should think about it and get used to kind of like what that might mean to us. So I guess that'll be mine.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so at the beginning of your statement, you say, indicated that you wanted to put it on a line item.
So, it was a question.
Yeah, so I think, you know, a lot of people are a little like, whoa, you know, because staff is shorthanded. And budget-wise, I mean, we're looking at a budget right now. We've got police vehicles. We've got fire trucks. We've got roads that are in disrepair. We've got a lot of things that need to be done, and I think the arts are fabulous. But to add a line item and to have staff expense and, you know, forming that whole committee and everything, it just doesn't align right now with the needs that the city needs. I think, you know, we can go out for grants for the art culture. There's no problem with that. I'm just saying that you're adding more work to the staff and more money spent on that. That money could go to, again, the police vehicles, the fire trucks. You know, we need a fire station. We need to buy land. We need a lot of things that this budget is trying to help with. But to add something more that's going to cost more, it doesn't look right to me. So you could form a committee. You can form an ad hoc committee, and you can look into it, and you can discuss it. But, you know, I still think that even for next year, it's just not right at this time.
Councilmember Pepper. Councilmember Deedy, thank you for your remarks. I have asked for no money. All I have asked for is I don't care if there's any money after it. I'm trying to open up an opportunity by putting it in the city information. It doesn't have to have money after it at this time, but it has to have some kind of, I guess I'm thinking of it as a goal that we can think about, and that it has a window in our city's fabric. And right now, I take your point, okay, your points that you've made, but you also need to take a look at what I'm asking, and I did ask in the beginning, is this the appropriate thing? Can we do something like this? If it says Black Diamond Municipal Arts Commission, it doesn't have to have any money after it. Maybe in the future it might, because you're right. It does take a staff person to go to the once a month meetings that take an hour or two, and it would require the person there to take the minutes. And we could work on the cost of that, whatever that may be. So I have asked the question. My sense from the conversation that I'm getting, unless it can go on there as a line item with no responsibility on the city's part to pay for something that isn't even there yet, but it is the idea out there that can be seen. So I, to me, whether it's on there or not, it's not that important at this time, but I'd like it to be important in the future. So that would be my comment on this. And I also want to be very clear that this requires no money. I'm not asking for services or things that people can't provide. But I think as a city, the arts are a huge and tremendous influence in the community. And I think it's time that we I recognize that there's a community arts group that is in, it's not in session, but is a group that is already here. And they can be very helpful in getting this started as well. So I put that out there as an idea, and there it is.
Councilmember Deedy. So the money part, you know, it might not be a physical, here's a $100 bill, but you still got staff time. You can't just, and correct me if I'm wrong, you can't just put some on a line item and say, and have the public see, oh, they got an arts commission. And then they call the city of Black Diamond and they say, hey, Andy, you got an arts commission. Can I come? And I'd really like to. And Andy says, I'm sorry, we haven't done any research. We haven't done anything, but we got a line item. We think it's great, but we don't know where we're going with it. The city needs to have a fully functional, a
if they're going to put it out there, it needs to be vetted. It already needs to go through a committee. It already needs to go through staff to look at it. So anything that you want to do, it still takes money. It might not be a form of cash that you see, but it takes staff time. It takes council's time. It takes the mayor's time. And in that time, it takes it away from doing other items in the city. So there is an expenditure. There is a cash value there that is on anything. So when you say, you know, you just want it on there so that it's in a place marker, it still needs to have backing with it. It still needs to have all of the vetted things to go with it so that it has a committee, it has, you know, an ad hoc committee or whatever it would have. But it just needs to tell the citizens, okay, this is where they're at. They've already got this point. Now they're looking for somebody to do, like with the cemetery committee, you know. So again, arts is great, but the city just isn't in the position right now to take staff time and to form that, to get that going. I think
it could be listed as a long-term goal.
And that would be something, if we were going to have a retreat or something, that we would talk about as long-term goals. But, Pat, I have this on my horizon, and I have all along. My granddaughter is going to art school. I talk to these art people. They want to apply to the city to become a commission, but they haven't gotten around to organizing it. I understand you want it to be funded or sponsored by the city, but it would be a lot easier for us to have somebody come in that already had formed a group and come and talk to it. I have talked to them. I am not opposed to the idea. I am opposed to the fact that you want to put it on us. I would rather sponsor a group that is already together. I am not against any art group. I think that you just aren't listening, because I have talked to these people. So it's not like I'm against it or don't want to do it or don't want to sponsor it at some time in the future, but it certainly would work a lot better if we let the group that already exists, the Black Diamond Art Group that already exists, do their formation and then come back at some point in time and ask the city if they would sponsor them, because that's what the plan is. We already have a plan for that. It doesn't have to be in the budget to be a plan.
I take both your points, and I certainly hope that you have heard mine. Thank you.
So do we have any more questions on the budget?
So, Councilmember B. So I would just like to say on the budget, so this is my fifth year on the council going through a budget, and only one time has a mayor not presented a balanced budget. So with that, I'd like to say thank you to Mayor Benson and, of course, staff for presenting a balanced budget. I realize, you know, all the departments would like extra money, and it's hard to sit down and say, gosh, we can't afford that because we need to be able to do this. So, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. It's just not. Or they just throw together and just say, here you go. I mean, they really got to look at, you know, what are they going to cut? You know, where's all that money going to come from? So with that being said, as citizens are listening, it's really important that you shop here in your town so the city can get some funds. So again, just, you know, I didn't really hear any changes to this budget, so I'm hoping that on the 15th it will pass, and again, thank you to staff and to the mayor for presenting the council with a balanced budget.
I want to thank all the staff too, because you know, we do a lot of the numbers and everything, but we get input from every single staff, and we work back and forth through a long, long process, and all the staff here had input into the budget, and I call all of them with questions to try to make sure that we do a good job and really can measure it, that we can put out reports to you, and that it really will work year after year. And probably going to grow. And as we grow, I know I come from a bigger city where we had a lot of different, we had senior center. We didn't have a community center that had to get their own money. We had an arts commission and dedicated arts money. But we were a large city with a large sales tax base. So, but I see that we're starting to grow a little bit, and I think we've got a good basis here to move forward. And I think we'll search hard to get a fire truck and to get police cars and to get the court the funding they need to keep the doors open. And I think this is a good budget that will do that. And we'll be careful with it and report to you how we're doing all year long. If we have changes, we'll bring them back to you. And I appreciate it if you have any questions at all, you know, because you know, we have to use the FARS manual to consolidate the funds the way they specify what kind of funds go together on the reporting and everything when we do our ordinance and everything. So we have to have lead time to get all that ordinance and everything ready.
It's Councilmember Weber. Not sound like I'm riding a bandwagon, but I do appreciate you guys coming out tonight. It's not the best of nights to have to come out with the wind and the cold and the snow, but appreciate you guys coming out tonight. And May, you had mentioned in the past, one of the past meetings, I remember what it was, but did you mention something about possibly next year starting some of the budget stuff a little bit earlier?
Well,
like maybe having updates like earlier in the year?
Sure,
I remember exactly.
We could do that. We talked about definitely adopting a schedule so everybody knew when all the meetings would be scheduled ahead of time, so it wasn't, now, when was that meeting? Why are we doing this? Because it is a real kind of a rush time, and they do specify here's when you need to be working on it. We could start a little bit earlier than that and do, we try to hold as many work-study meetings and the departments be there to answer questions as go through.
I know myself, it'd just be nice, kind of throughout the end. I'm not talking to take a lot of time out of your time, but
sure.
It's,
absolutely.
Working this on the budget.
Absolutely.
Kind of where
sure. We can
something like that.
We can do that. We get a little bit behind this time of year, but I try to do quarterly reports at least at a minimum. When our staff was cut back, we had to cut back because we used to do them every month, and then as the funding came and we weren't funded anymore and we had to make cuts, we did start doing quarterly reports, and I still hand those out, but I could have work studies and certainly go over the reports with you every quarter.
I can't speak for anybody else, but I know myself, the little bit of time here and there,
mm-hmm.
kind of the year goes along,
mm-hmm.
would set
yep.
more
yeah.
time later in the year.
I think so.
So you don't have this like
crunch at the end.
Yeah.
Well, and I think especially
I mean it'll be a crunch. It's always a crunch. It's budget time.
It is always the crunch, and it is a crunch for us. Those are all good suggestions, and we surely can. Sorry, hold on.
Councilmember Dean, so I think that's a good suggestion because you get new people on the council, like yourself and Councilmember Pepper, and maybe doing something like that would make it less painful at the end of the year so that when you get here, you're more comfortable with the budget system.
Well, and there's always a possibility of doing it in a different format. Maple Valley this year did theirs they went through the budget process on a work session on a weekend, on a Saturday. And so they spent about 6 hours on the budget, and then 2 weeks later they approved the budget. So, we can go through, we get quarterly reports on our budget every year, and we were getting them monthly a couple years ago. But we could do a work session that we could thoroughly go through the budget and answer everybody's question earlier on and maybe do a couple of them because that's what Maple Valley did this year. But they had one big work session on a weekend, and they passed their budget the next week with the next meeting that they had. So that's really what we need to do. I mean, how many work sessions have we had this year? We've had five. This is the sixth work session that we've had this year, and, Yeah, and we're a full service city. Most cities aren't, so we have a lot more services than other people do.
And they contract police and fire, and so it is more like a big city budget when you have all the different funds and requirements and everything that you have to do. That's true. But hopefully it has turned a little bit. I'm hopeful it's going to change next year. I think it would.
So I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.